I'll end there and answer any questions or what have you.
Yeah, thanks. So it's a great suite of a range of things that might be possible.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit of time that we have to hear from you, either questions that you might have or ideas or stories that you might have. And just as a little bit of a background, originally we were about to have a speaker to talk about his lobster tourism business. Well, as it turns out, he couldn't make it. And that's fine, but I'm kind of just as excited to hear this because we've got a little bit of time to kind of wander around about this world of what might be possible. And so, what do you think?
Well, I was just wondering, though,
the Seafood Culinary Institute sounds so great. Now, is it going to be only aquaculture, or are the wild catch folks going to get a hand in?
We would like to include the wild catch. The challenge is going to be the amount of time we have and the amount of geography we have to cover. We have done, I think, 5 or 6 tours like this previously. Not, you know, they were by invitation only. Mm-hmm. They were kind of smaller tours, and it's expensive. It's really expensive, and it takes a lot of time and energy. I mean, you've got to literally put everybody in a van and drive them from one place to another. Then you have to find a restaurant in the evening who's willing to host a meal. You've got to get people to donate product. So we still got a lot to work out on, to be honest with you. But in my mind, this will not be successful unless this features Maine seafood, period.
Period, the whole shebang.
And then
how to
do that with shrimp this year won't
work.
Yeah, no
kidding. That actually brings up two really quick points. This is a great way to highlight seafood and forget about the division of whether it's caught or grown. This is a good way to do generic connections to Maine produced seafood. And the second really quick thing I will say is that in Maine, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a lobster. And you all know people who fish or farm or do both or something like that. The person in Chicago doesn't know that. The person in Las Vegas or New York City doesn't know that. And for those people who are in the field, you're rock stars. That's why the TV shows are out there. That's gold. Well, that's money. I'm sorry. Quick digression.
How many people are you going to have on the Maine Seafood Culinary Institute trip up the coast?
We think we can reasonably handle between 12 and 14 max to begin with. And that's because we got to find, and this is my challenge, I need to find venues at night where I can conduct a master class but have chefs engage in that. So this is our first run-through is going to be for chefs only. It's not going to be for the general public. So I'm targeting people who want to talk to each other chef to chef. I don't think we can get a lot bigger than that. And you know, chefs are complicated people. They are. They have opinions. They want to have space to express those opinions. Part of this is not overstepping the number of people in one room. Mm. I'll just leave it at that.
Too many egos.
Pastor, are you looking to have, let's say, 10 restaurants and let these chefs come in and work in their restaurant? Or what's your...
No. So we've identified 3... And I'm still shy one. I need one more place. We've identified 3 places along the coast that actually have a fairly large kitchen that we can get people into and let them cook and talk to each other amongst themselves. So in 2 instances, one is a community kitchen. One is actually a kitchen which is associated with a vineyard. They have a kitchen, so there's a nice opportunity there for some pairing with Maine wines, which we're going to do. And then the 3rd instance is a restaurant that's a commercial restaurant and has agreed to kind of set aside some time. And it's a kitchen which is actually, I should say, it's associated with a bed and breakfast. So it's not like a Main Street restaurant, it's a bed and breakfast, but they've agreed to put an evening aside for us, and the chef from that B&B will be part of that. So I need one more slot. I'm going to, if you think about going from Portland to Eastport, I've got one kind of blind spot. I got to find some place.
Which part of the map is that?
It is east of Ellsworth. Yeah.
You talked about some of your members are stops on tours by other boats, and so different agreements that they have with different tour operators. And I'm just curious, what's in it for the farmer? Do they get a cut on the ticket that the tour operator sells? Do they get general goodwill in the community? Is it about educating the public about what they're doing? Is it financial?
It depends on the farm. It depends on the farm. To be honest with you, Natalie, there are instances where I don't ask a lot of questions. This is a commercial business relationship between two businesses, and it's frankly none of my business. But there are, for sure, I know there are farms which are doing it because they think it's the right thing to do in their community, and they're getting nothing for it. I think that's amazing because, as Dana alludes to, when you're running a commercial farm and somebody swings by and stops, and Dick will know this, I mean, and they start to ask questions and you're trying to do what you got to get done to get the truck loaded, it's a pain in the you-know-what. So it is. I mean, it's not easy to do, particularly in the instance, in the case of recreational fishing and recreational hunting. Guys, I know there are instances where there is cash exchanging hands.
Mm-hmm. There's always possibility for a chef to be delighted by that aquaculturist and go contract with you guys for our New Jersey restaurant or whatever.
Well, that's happened in some of our food. We did about 8 or 9 years ago. We did a series of food writer tours, and on those food writer tours, there were also a couple of chefs, and we absolutely know that those folks are sourcing from the farms that they went to tour.
Please, Chris. What's the legality of serving an oyster on the half shell to a visitor to your oyster farm? Can you give it to them? Can you sell it to them?
Currently,
can you not check it?
Currently, you can give them something, but you cannot sell it. And there is pending legislation that we have cooperated with the Department of Marine Resources. It will go through in this session to allow you to sell off the farm. You have to be in compliance with, you know, some sanitary conditions, obviously, or whatever, but you will be able to sell directly from the farm. That's something that we have not had in Maine, but places like Massachusetts, Rhode Island, I don't know if Connecticut has that ability or not. I'm not sure about Connecticut, but there are other states that have had that ability. And so we've worked, and the department deserves a lot of credit for being willing to consider that and move that. And but actually, before I forget, I want to just give a shout out to the department and the Coast Guard. I don't get a chance to say this publicly very often, but I want to thank you on behalf of our guys, because you guys are on the water all the time, and if one of our guys get in trouble, you're the guys who bail them out, and we really appreciate that. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm.